So the question is, how many of you on each of the 30 days since November 1st have been giving thanksgiving to God? When you woke up from your bed, did you think about saying, "Thank you, Lord, I'm alive"? When you got in your car, drove to work, back, did you say, "Thank you, Lord, for bringing me home"? And you were able to have food on your table, did you remember, say, "Thank you for providing"? And you got air to breathe through your lungs, did you remember, say, "Lord, thank you for the air that I breathe"? And that's why we are here this morning, to just encourage us. Because sometimes we forget to just say, "Thank you, Lord." Amen? Amen? Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Even as the priest is saying, we exalt thee. Who is like thee? None in the heavens and the earth can be compared to you, Lord. And as we come, Lord, we say, you speak your word, that we will be encouraged through your word. And not me, but you be glorified through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we continue with our 30 days Thanksgiving. And today, I'm going to be talking about Thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. Help me in the next slide. And this is our blurb. It said, how many of you, or how many of your needs God has met, and how many of your prayers goes unanswered? Because sometimes we pray, right? And there is no response. And when you are overcome by all your problems, will you choose to thank God and go on? Somebody said sometime. But let's hear what God's word says. Whether we should, it should be sometimes. Help me in the next slide. For our eternal truth, it says that we are to maintain a spirit of gratitude concerning all of the life surprises, the struggles, the disappointments, and crises. And guess what? We learn to see life through the act of praise and thanksgiving to God on a daily basis. Not only when things are fine, we say, "Thank you, Lord." But when things don't seem fine, hey, thank you, Dennis. And our goal is to be filled with eyes that see God's wonder and blessing we receive every day, and his hands pressing in all circumstances of life. The songwriter said, every day is a day what? Of thanksgiving. So, I want us to go through and see a couple of things we're going to be talking about this morning. And we want to consider, how can we go about being thankful? So help me. The first thing in order to be thankful, we should first of all acknowledge God's goodness. And in acknowledging God's goodness, we recognize his creation, remember his faithfulness, and recognize his blessing. Because sometimes we think that everything is done through my own power, or because I'm educated, I'm smart, I'm making three figures, so it's me. And forget about the provider. And forget about the one who, the source beyond everything that we achieve. So, I went to the book of Psalm 100, a very good verse, right? And the psalmist said, make a joyful shout to who? Oh, y'all help me. If you ain't helping, we're going to stay alone here this morning. Make a joyful shout to who? To the Lord.
And he said, all you lands, serve the Lord with what? Even when it's not going good in our lives. And he said, come before his presence with what? And sometimes you come here, the person singing, and you're just like they're looking. Oh, someone says sometimes they don't know the song. But clap your hands. Stomp your feet. He said, come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is who? He is what? And this is where I want to focus on for this part. It said, it is he who has what? Yeah. So if you want to stop being a praise to God, the first thing you should consider, hey, my existence is God. I didn't create myself. I got no part in my existence. I got nothing to do. No matter how smart, no matter how good looking I am, whatever the case, I got nothing to do with it. It is God. Amen. So the first thing I should recognize as being his creation, I should look up to him. And the verse is, he said, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So when I start appreciating God, that I'm his creation, that he took time to form me in his image after his likeness, I will honor him. I will praise him no matter the circumstances, no matter how things look, I will praise him. And look at the next part, he said, we are his what? Now remember, once upon a time, we were not his people. When we sinned against him, he threw Adam and Eve out of the garden. We were no longer his people. But now, after Jesus came and settled it all, we now become his people. Amen. Think about that. If you are not God, will you enjoy the fruit of God's labor? The blessings of God? And he said, the sheep of his pasture. Now, the psalmist said that the Lord is God. He is Yahweh, the Elohim. He is the creator of earth. And there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. So it means that my gratitude should start being, oh, I'm his creation. I appreciate God, first of all, for being your creation. I appreciate you for making me your man, your people, that I'm part of you. I'm part, and he has now created our family that every one of us who was once upon a time condemned to hell, we now become part of his family. So that requires us to be a praise unto God. So when you come Sunday morning or when you're in your car, you turn your music on, sing hallelujah to God. If you're in your home, you walk in, praise him. Amen. You know, the song said, I will dance. David danced, right? Yes. Now, we don't know how David danced, but if David could dance and it recorded in the book, the greatest book of all, that means David was dancing how? We don't know whether he clapped his hand, he stomped his feet, he roared, whatever he did, but the Bible says he danced, he praised God. And that should be our attitude, praising God in everything. And the next part, let's go to the next verse, please. Remembering his faithfulness. If I should ask everyone who God has been faithful to you, everyone else will put our hands up, right? We will put our hands up. And look at the verse, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Hey, I don't know about you, church. But when I leave my house, I enter this door here, it's like I feel I'm in heaven. You know, sometimes we force of our kids in the morning getting ready. And they want to take, the devil is busy. Before we leave from home, you wake them up to go in the bathroom and take about 45 minutes to get ready. And then you yell, get out of the bathroom, get out, hurry up, let's go. And you want to, you got to be to church on time. We got to go for Sunday school. But then when I get here, hey, I'm ready to praise God. Because I don't want the devil to steal my joy. When I get home, we handle that. But when I come here, I'm going to praise him. Amen? That's the act of worship. That's what God wants to see. Even as we go forward, we're going to see about praising God, what God talks about, even in the midst of adversity. Amen?
Amen.
We weren't God's people, but now we are his people. And we didn't receive mercy, but now, church, we now receive mercy from who? From God. And he says that, enter into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful. To who? Oh, only a few persons saying that. To who? To him, God. And bless his what? Name. And say, for the Lord is what? Good. He's not good just one day. He's not good just an hour. He's not good just for a minute. But look what he says. The last part of it says, and his truth endures to what? All generations. So you see what God does? God is faithful. That his faithfulness can be praised from generations to generation. It doesn't stop to one set of generations. It continues even when this generation leaves, another generation comes. That praise continues because of what God is doing. He doesn't fall short in doing what he wants to do for his people. He doesn't fail in doing what he wants to do for his people. He doesn't have to think and say, should I do it for Mr. Long or hold on? No. No! He does it according to his will and according to his purpose. And that's why we are, if we are to be have the attitude of gratitude and be thankful, remember God's faithfulness. Even we not faithful to him, but yet he still remains faithful to us. Amen. You see, David highlighted the essence of God's character when he said, be thankful to him and bless his name. It kind of tells us about who God is. That even through our mess, it doesn't change his character towards us. It doesn't change God's mindset towards us. His character is completely different. He accepts us just as we are. So imagine if someone loves you and accepts you through your mistakes, through your ups and downs. He accepts you any second, any minute you avail yourself to him, he receives you. Doesn't he deserve to be glorified? Not just when things are good. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be praised. Every minute, every second of the day in your life. And not only that, why we give thanks? Why should we remember his faithfulness? Because the psalmist said, for his mercy, for the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. This is a steadfast love that God shows towards us. This is the faithfulness that continues, like I said, to all generations. It is the sovereign grace of God that we experience. It is the sovereign grace of God that affirms his faithfulness towards us, despite when we wander here and there, wandering here and there. His faithfulness. And you know the most distinct marks of a Christian experience? It's a thankful heart. Is a thankful heart. That's a distinct mark of a Christian. If you don't have a thankful heart, then you got to check yourself up. Because think about God's goodness towards you every day of your life. Help me, let's go to the next slide. And not only that, as we praise God, remember his blessing. You know, Richard was saying, if he starts giving testimony, it won't finish. If we start testifying, we won't leave from here today. Because the songwriter said, come, your blessings, name them one by one. If we start naming our blessing one by one, there will be no book to carry it all through. And that's why we have to remember, he said, bless the Lord, Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5, said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what? All. It's not few. He said, for all that is within me, you are bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this other thing, I want us to consider verse 3 going forward. Why should we not forget his benefit? Number one, he forgives my iniquities. He forgives your iniquities. And not only that, he heals our diseases. Woo. And not only that, he redeems our life from what? Destruction. Think about it. We were doomed for hell. We were all once upon a time gone astray. But God, through his mercy, through his love, he gave his only son to become sin for mankind on our behalf. To the extent that God, for a meaning, while Christ was on the cross, God, who being so holy, could not behold the time his son was carrying the sin of the world. And Jesus could shout out and say, Ela, Ela, Lama Sabbatani, my Lord, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That was a moment that God could not behold, who could not behold sin, and his son was carrying the sin of the world. And God withdrew himself for that moment. Imagine that. But guess what? Because of Jesus, we are saved from what? Destruction. And in the last part, who crowns you with what? Loving kindness and what? Tender mercy. When you think about the mercy of God, if God has not been merciful to us, whoo, it would have been a disaster. Because why? As men, we still carry that sinful nature with us. We still think evil. We still think contrary to what God's will is. But because of his loving kindness and his tender mercies, we are making it each time of the day. Doesn't he deserve, when you think about it, doesn't he deserve to be praised? Amen. Oh, only a few people agree with me. Thank you for the few that agree with me. Doesn't he deserve to be praised? Amen. Amen. He deserves to be praised. Because without him, without his tender mercy, without his grace, without his long and loving kindness, where we would have been. And look at verse 5. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things? He doesn't give up bad things. He doesn't offer up bad things. He said, what father? In the scripture, he said, what father or son will ask him for a gift, and that father gave that son a serpent? He said, you who men can't know how to get good gift, then what about me, God? I'm just paraphrasing that. What about me, God? Don't you think I'll give you the best? Don't you think I'll give you the best that you desire? Even though you don't deserve it, but I'll give you the best. So, he said, who satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? I'm not talking about Philadelphia Eagles. Woo! All right, let's get back to the message. But, you know, I think my giant fans can side with me, right? But he satisfied your mouth with good things. And no one can do that for you. There's no one can do that for us. It has to be God who's doing those things. Amen? Amen. Remembering his blessing. And church, when we recognize his blessing, there is so much we can be grateful to God for. Guess what? It's one thing to be grateful as we go to our next slide. It's one thing to be grateful when everything is going your way. Let's go to the next slide, Andrea. It's one thing to be grateful when everything is going your way, right? But when everything is not going your way, what is your response? And sometimes we kind of justify our wrong attitude by saying, well, God shouldn't have allowed this to happen to me. I serve him. I teach Sunday school. I sing in the praise team. I'm part of the women ministry. I'm here for youth. I'm doing everything. I pay my tithe. I do everything. Why God is allowing this to happen to me? But I want you to listen carefully, right? Because what I'm about to tell you, you should be grateful in the midst of adversity. Because what God is doing in your life and the consequences of what he's doing in your life is for you to remember who God is. So we're going to look at appreciating God in the midst of adversity. Is it easy to say, God, thank you, when you're going through excruciating pain? Is it easy to say, God, thank you, when you can't figure out what you try doing 1, 2, 3, and you keep going back? Is it easy? Well, let's look at the scripture. First of all, in order to appreciate God in the midst of adversity, we should recognize God's sovereignty. Recognize God's sovereignty. And next, focus from the problems to God. Because many a times, we focus on the problem more than we focus on God. And the next, respond with a grateful heart, even in the midst of adversity. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. Now, recognizing God's sovereignty. Psalm 103, verse 9, 19 to 23 says, the Lord has what? Established his throne in heaven. And his kingdom rules what? Over all. You may be going through tough time. You may be going through situation. And in that moment, consider who God is. The sovereignty of God. This scripture kind of reminds us that God's throne is settled and it established. God's throne cannot be shaken by the affairs of man. Whatever we're going through, it doesn't shake God's sovereignty. No. God is going to remain God and he's going to remain in control of who and how he does things. And look at it, he said, in 20, he said, bless the Lord, you his angel, who excel in strength, who do his work, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do this to his pleasure. And bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his, what? Dominions. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you live on planet Earth, remember, God has dominion over planet Earth. And he has dominion over you. So recognize his sovereignty. Recognize his power. Recognize who he is first when you are facing adversity in your life. You're facing no problem. First of all, recognize him. And as we go to the next slide there, recognize God's sovereignty. Look at Psalm 135, verse 6. It says, whatever the Lord pleases, He does? Oh, you ain't see that? He what? He does, right? It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter the situation I'm in. Whatever pleases the Lord is what he what? Does. In heaven and where? On earth. In the seas and where? In all deep places. So when you are facing adversity, think about God. God is here with me. Even though I'm going through this, but I know he's here with me. I mean, I understand why this is happening, but I know he's here with me. I mean, I comprehend what is going on, but he is a sovereign God. I know he sees. I know he understands. He knows exactly what, but I don't know. So what I'm going to do? Praise him. Is that easy? It's not easy. But we ought to recognize the sovereignty of God and praise him no matter what our circumstances are. And I say, refocus from the problems to God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Paul says, he said, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in what? Everything. Now, he said, in some things, when things are looking good, and he said, oh, Lord, thank you. I got a new car. Oh, God, thank you. I want to pay this bill. Yes. But when things not going the right way, he said, be what? Anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made to who? God. Not the problem. Not trying to figure out who led you there. How am I going to get over this? Take a step back. Turn to God. Because what? He's a sovereign God. He knows exactly what you're going through. He sees what you're going through. So that's why Paul could make no mistake. He said, what? But with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your hearts and minds. Through who? Who? So it's not going to be anything else. It's not going to be your boss. It's not going to be your wife. It's not going to be your husband. It's not going to be your children. But it's going to be who? What? God. You say what? True Christ Jesus. And that's how our praises should be. So when we're going through difficult times, pause on it. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on God. Turn to him. And turn to him, not with complaint, right? Yeah. I say, God, you know what this is? I've been going through. I've been struggling with this. Why, God? God don't want, he don't want you to mourn. He don't want you to complain to him. You think God doesn't know? You remember in the book of Job, chapter 37, verse 38, Job complained to God. He accused God of all those things that he was faithful to God. And God came to Job. He said, okay, Job, brace yourself like a man. Now, Job was trying to take God to court, in a sense, right? He was trying to take God to court and plead his case against God. And many of us like that. We complain to God. Why is this? And why is that? And God, you know, we complain, and forget the least good thing God has done in our lives. And God said, Job, you ready? Brace yourself like a man. Where were you? Where were you when I created the world? Where were you? Can you tell me where the sun came from? You got any idea? And it went on and on, and God went in and Job, he began speechless, I believe. He's like, oh, this is the wrong mistake I ever made. Why would I come to the sovereign God who knows everything and want to plead against and want to take him to court? And that's who we are. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said, what? Casting all your cares upon who? Him. No matter what it is, he what? Cares for you. Sometimes we don't even think about that scripture. We are trying to figure out what to do.
And Jesus, God is saying, whoo, can you just go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and just read it? Don't you think I cared about you? Don't you think I love you? Don't you think I know your circumstances more than you think you are going through? I do understand. But you got to take it to him. You got to cast it on him. Amen? Amen? So we have to learn to focus our problem to God. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about what? Your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That's Jesus speaking to the folks. Say, why will you worry about that? And then in Matthew 38, 11 verse 28 to 30, say, come. When you have the power, say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, listen, come to me, and I will send you to your husband, or I'm going to send you to your wife, or I'm going to send you to your children, or I'm going to send you to your boss. No, he said, come where? To me, and I, God, will I give you rest. And he said, what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. But we carry those heavy burdens, those yoke on our shoulder, going with those problems, and sometimes we don't even know what to think. But we need to refocus from the problem to God. Amen? And then we need to what? Respond after we've done that. We need to respond with a what? Grateful heart. And look at 1 Thessalonians. Paul says in chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. He says what? Rejoice sometimes. Is that easy? I think only one person agreed with me though. Is that easy to rejoice always? No! Don't act like you're super spiritual. No, it's not easy to rejoice always. Because there are sometimes you don't know how. It's hard to rejoice. And then verse 17, he said what? Pray with our. Woo! When nobody's aching you, when the pain is tearing you down and you can't comprehend it, and there you are fighting. Sometimes you feel helpless in praying. Sometimes you say, I don't know what to do. Sometimes you just say, I give up. Because it's too much. But this is what Paul says. In those moments, in those circumstances, he said, rejoice, pray without ceasing. And in what? Hey, if you don't say it, we're going to stay long here. He said, in everything do I. Woo! Not in some things give thanks. Not in few things give thanks. But in everything, for this is the will of God in who? Christ Jesus. It's tough. But this is why Paul wants us to understand that. It reminds us that things doesn't have to be good when we give thanks to God. Even when we get emotional, when we are worried, worry doesn't help the situation. It doesn't carry us through. It doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't turn anything around. It causes the problem more. But in the moment, Paul says that, rejoice. Pray, and in everything, give thanks. Now, here's what sometimes confusing, right? If you are not a Christian, you're going to say, what kind of God would allow his people to go through such a situation in their life and then thank him for it? That's the
unbeliever way of thinking. But sometimes we are Christians, we struggle with that. How can a good God allow me to go through this? And then I go, Lord, thank you. Take for a moment. What I'm trying to say is that, watch this, it's like your child ran in the street into a car, and our car smacked that child, and that child died. You think God expects you to say thank? No. In that moment, God don't expect you to say, thank you, God, for allowing my son to die. Of take for instance, you leave from church, you go home, and your wife of your husband leave a note on in a post mailbox and say, I'm leaving that note here to let you know that this is the end of the marriage. I'm moving on. I'm going to get married, and we're going to get divorced. Baby, don't worry. I didn't leave a note to the house. But in that situation, are you think you, does God expect you to say, thank you, God, for the breakup of my marriage? No! But then why should we give thanks? Why should we give thanks? Here's the thing. When Paul says that in everything give thanks, that is in every circumstances, give thanks. Give thanks that, hey, God, you are my master. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Even those that are going through this, I'm not thanking you for this situation, but I'm thanking you because you are going to be with me. You are going to carry me through this situation. You are going to walk with me through this problem. You are going to be by my side even as I fight this situation. That's why you're thanking God, because he promised never to leave you nor to forsake you. You're not thanking God because of the situation you're going through. You're thanking God because he's a sovereign God. He's going to stick closer to you even as you go through your trials, even as you go through your pain, even as you go through your sickness, even as you go through the difficult times in your life. You're thanking him because he's never going to leave you. Because at the end, he's going to find a way out for you. And that's why Paul says, everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Is it easy? No, it's not. But you see, when you thank God, and you're acknowledging that God has control over you, those problems, as long as we exist, will come. But guess what? You're acknowledging that God is in control of your life. You're acknowledging that God has power over the situation that you do not have. And if he says that he's going to carry you through the waters, right? Woo! He's going to take you through the fire, right? Hey, he's going to take you through the storm, right? He will never leave you in the midst of your problem when you trust him, when you turn your face to him, and you honor him, and you praise him in the midst of your situation. He ain't going to leave you. He will always be there. And that's why God wants us, as we celebrate, as we think about all of the goodness of God, every day we ought to praise God, no matter our circumstances, no matter what we are going through. We praise God because he is God. He may choose not to solve that problem, but that doesn't make him our God. He may choose to allow us to go through the problem, but that doesn't make him now faithful God. He may choose to allow us to step back, but yet he is still in control. Amen. So as we look at all of these, what do we need to do? Just to summarize, we need to put thanksgiving into action. Couple of things. Praise God for provision. Acknowledge God's goodness in your life, your family, your children, your wife, your husband, your job, food on your table, even roof over your head. Praise God because he provides all those things in your life. If you lose your job,
There's no income, right? And who are you going to turn to? God. Help me to find another job. If God didn't open that door for you, that next job will not call you in. So be thankful in everything. Recognize his blessing for the fact that you rise up in the morning just able to breathe air into your lungs. It's a blessing in itself. Stop complaining. Be thankful that I have life. And moreover, celebrate God's faithfulness. Don't wait that he gave you $1 million. And if he gave you $1 million, you know you got to bring $100,000 to the church. That's your God. You got to share. Thank you. You got to share with the church. But yeah, celebrate his faithfulness in your life. Don't wait you get a huge blessing before you come and thank God for that. Every little thing, be grateful to God. Thank you for your faithfulness. And live a gratitude, grateful life. Have a mindset of thanksgiving. Don't be afraid to testify of the goodness of God. You know, when we said 30 days of thanksgiving, I expect people to be running up here. We got more people that say, thank you, God. You got to think about it. God will be praised even if we don't preach, and when people praising him, thanking him for all that he's done in their lives. Reflecting on Christ's love. Singing songs of thanksgiving. Sharing testimonies. God has done great things in each and every one of us' life. And he deserves to be praised. He deserves to be honored. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're going through, God deserves to be praised. He's bigger than the problems you're going through. He's bigger than anything that you are facing in your life. Acknowledge him, and he will be there, as he says in his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word reminding us, oh God, to be thankful, to honor you for all that you've done in our lives. Help us to have a heart of thanksgiving, appreciating your goodness, appreciating your love, appreciating, Lord, your power, your blessings upon our lives each day, acknowledging that you are greatly to be praised in our lives. We just thank you. And even if you are here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you cannot praise him. You cannot be thankful to him. Only one who knows the Lord can be thankful to him. And you can surrender your life to him, and he is able to give you a heart of thanksgiving. We just bless you. If you are here, you can see us at the end of the service, and we can pray along with you. Father, we just give you the praise, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christine will come and lead us into a song.
Please stand and join us as we sing Give Thanks.
Give thanks to the
Give thanks. That's all God needs from us. Amen. A grateful heart for all he's done for us. In every second, every minute, every hour, every day, he deserves our praise. And as we go forward this week, go with a heart of praise to God and be thankful in all things, knowing that he loves us and cares about us. Amen? Let's get a closer in a word of prayer.
We're just going to close with a word of prayer. If you're a member, we have just a quick business meeting. Just got to vote something that we already began about the sale of the parsonage, so it won't take us very long. And I just want to remind you parents, Rosemary's going to be in the front right after that, just a couple of minutes from now, and we will have information about our children's Christmas musical. And we just want to encourage you guys just to stick around for that. Do some paperwork. We'll vote, get some paperwork, and then we'll be off into our week. You know, here's the good thing. Isn't it great that we're going to be off into our week, but God's going to go with us in our week?
Amen.
As Pastor Ansu prayed, right? Or actually, he spoke. He said, you know what? God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And that is an awesome thing to begin to fuel our praise even for the week ahead. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, you told us, Lord, why we should praise you. Why should we should be thankful. Thank you for Pastor Ansu, Lord, and just expounding on that and clarifying for us, Lord, why there needs to be a gratefulness in our hearts. And I pray, dear God, that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, because thanksgiving is really one of the fruits of walking with Jesus and having the Spirit within us, I pray, dear God, that you will cultivate in us a thankful and a faithful heart. Help us in the week ahead, dear God. Go with us. We know you will. Help us, Lord, in the times of trouble. And, Lord, cause us to praise you in every season. And we ask it now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.